Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
News Talk Saturday.
Now, on Valentine's Night 1981, 48 people were killed in the Stardust nightclub fire in North Dublin. It was the deadliest fire disaster in the history of the state. For decades, families campaigned to overturn the original findings and clear the names of their loved ones. In 2024, a jury found the victims were unlawfully killed, followed by a formal state apology and a redress scheme. Joining us now is Sean Murray, co-author of The Last Disco, the story of the Stardust tragedy, to reflect on how this story has evolved and what this 45th anniversary represents. Good morning to you, Sean.
Morning, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. I'm just thinking there's a lot of similarities here because it is a Saturday, it's Valentine's Day, and in 1981, Valentine's night was a Saturday night.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was the Friday into the Saturday 45 years ago when this happened. This was a huge event in the Stardust nightclub, which itself was a really popular venue for young people in the area. There was a disco dancing competition. There'd been heat. There'd been people qualified to get to the final of this. There was a big build-up for weeks. Everyone was really looking forward to it. They were asking their parents for permission to go. They were saving up their wages. Everyone was just so excited to go to this place that night. This was the kind of place it was. It was where you'd hear the latest music. It's where you'd meet your friends. And like as we know, it turned into such a disaster that night, with what happened with the terrible fire, and compounded upon that was the years and years of fighting for justice, as you referred to.
Yeah, the fire officially caused by an electrical fault. I'm just conscious some people may not have been alive or remember this, but you had locks, chains, and obstructed exits.
Yeah, I think when people are coming to it fresh now, when they've not heard the story of the Stardust, when they hear some of the details about what happened on the night, and then also about the fallout and what emerged in the investigations, it kind of does make your jaw drop a bit just to hear the details. So there was a practice at the Stardust that various inquiries have heard about, where on nights when there'd be many people in the venue, there was a practice of keeping some of the emergency exits chained and locked for periods of the night. Now, like evidence heard over the years suggested that there was a fear that people were getting in for free. They were paying in, but then opening the doors to let their friends in. So a decision was made by the management at the Stardust to keep emergency exits chained and locked. Now, they said they would only do it for a portion of the evening. But when tragedy struck, when the fire struck on the night, the evidence that came out afterwards very strongly suggested that at least one of the exits was chained and locked when people were trying to leave, and then others were obstructed or they had things in the way when people were trying to make their way through it, through the smoke and through the fire in the dark. That's one of the very disquieting things that came out afterwards. And like as well, the actual design of the Stardust, what it was used, to build it, there were carpet tiles on the walls. I think it's modern design. If you go to a nightclub, it's kind of hard to imagine carpets on the walls, but that was decided to be put on the walls at the time, and that was it contributed to the rapid spread of fire on the night as well. So as well as of the fire starting with a fault, I imagine it could happen in any circumstances. There could be a fault that could happen. There were situations and circumstances in the venue that made it so that it was impossible for some people to escape. And I think that's one thing when people are coming to it fresh, that is just so striking.
And so begins a 45-year campaign for justice and a campaign to clear the names of their loved ones, only slightly resolved in 2024. But how has the campaign had to change over the 45 years?
Well, like immediately afterwards, like the whole country was so shocked by what had happened. Like you can imagine if something like this happened now, people would be like, oh my God, we need answers to what happened. We need to find out what happened and make sure this never happens again. And that was the prevailing mood at the time. Like everyone was so shocked and appalled and so sad by what happened. We needed to find answers. So at the time, the government set up a tribunal of inquiry to try and find those answers. Now, unfortunately, especially for the survivors and the families of victims, that inquiry didn't get to the bottom of what happened. It didn't identify the hot press, the electrical fault in the hot press, as potentially being the cause. It came to a finding that we can't really tell what caused the fire, but the probable cause of it was arson. So by suggesting that it was arson, a lot of people in the community felt that they themselves were being blamed. One of their own, who was there on the night, had started this horrible fire that had killed so many. And people were shocked. They were, this couldn't be the case. There's no way that would have happened. And of course, no arsonist, quote unquote arsonist, was ever apprehended, because that wasn't how the fire started, according to the recent inquest. So by having that as the original finding over 40 years ago, kind of set in train a campaign where people said, okay, this horrible thing has happened. We're not satisfied with the answers the state has given us, and we need to find new ways to get to the truth. And I think it's such a testament to the families and to the survivors that they kept going for so long, even though the doors kept being closed upon them. They kept running into kind of brick walls to try and get new inquiries. And as you said in the start, it took till 2024, which was over 43 years since the fire, until they finally got those inquest verdicts.
At which the jury found that the victims were unlawfully killed. I know of some journalists who were at that particular case, and they say it's probably the most emotional thing they've ever covered.
Well, yeah, like it's something I've followed closely throughout my career, and I wasn't sure I would ever reach a day where I would see that being said in a courtroom. Like, we were in quite a large room, but day to day during the inquest, there'd be maybe a few dozen people in there. On the day of the verdicts, there were hundreds. Everyone had turned out to hear this verdict that they'd been waiting for so long, to hear the vindication of their loved ones that they'd waited for so long, and to the kind of way it was revealed, the coroner kind of bit by bit said, have you determined the verdict? How were these people killed? And then when the foreman said the two words, unlawfully killed, like I could be a journalist until 2060, 2070, and I'd never be in a room with such emotion, with such an outpouring of, it's hard to even put into words, the grief that's still there, but also relief at having their loved ones vindicated at last. It was and me and all the journalists there, I think it was a privilege for us to witness it, but it was also, it's obviously so special for the families and survivors who'd been through so much.
Yeah, I mean, I know journalists were nearly embracing some of those survivors and comforting them. It sounds like a very, very emotional time. I hate to reduce this chat to money, but compensation is important. And we heard this week that survivors are going to get €20,000 in payments from the Irish government. Now, that's not for injury compensation, but that's because of delays in delivering truth and justice. But some of the survivors aren't happy with this.
Well, yeah. So after the inquest verdict, where it was ruled that they were unlawfully killed, the state kind of stepped up straight away. In terms of the state apology came within a week from then Taoiseach Simon Harris to say, we let you down over a long period of time, and the kind of message was that we won't do that again. And then obviously after that state apology, there was a move to kind of put in some redress. For the first of all, the families, the bereaved families, each of the 48 people, there was a scheme put in place where they would receive a payment to kind of acknowledge the length and breadth of all of the efforts they had to put in for so long to reach the point that they had, and even with the state kind of the barriers that the state had put in front of them. That was the first phase, and then we moved on to the second phase, which was what was announced this week in terms of money in the form of €20,000 payment for survivors of the fire. Now, there was over 800 people there on the night, and 200 of them were injured, some of them very severely, some of them suffered life-changing injuries. And I think the reason why it's been so controversial this week is that the first bit, the state apology and the redress scheme, was done in kind of consultation with survivors and their legal teams, whereas this second part, lots of people found out via the government announcements. They didn't know it was coming. And they had warned for a long time that you need to bring us along with you. You need to consult us on what's happening. And that's what's angered people so much this week, is that the government has just kind of thrown this out there and said, okay, here you go. And for a long time, the Stardust families have felt like the government just wanted them to go away, just wanted them to be quiet, to sit down, and hopefully that they would be satiated by whatever they were offered. And it feels like that kind of message is being sent across again. Mm. And I think this is what's really getting to people this time, because there was no consultation, there was no talk with them beforehand. And it's a one-size-fits-all approach where €20,000 is going to be issued to people who originally accessed a form of compensation back in the 80s when that was open to them. So only people who accessed that in the 80s. But I think a lot of people might say, like, well, look, I might not have gone to it in the 1980s because I might not have had physical scars, but the mental scars were so strong that I didn't access that then. And if you didn't access it then 40 years ago, you can't access it now.
Right.
Which I think people might feel very, very put out by as well. It's not acknowledging the pain that they went through. So I wonder if the government might change tack on this a bit because of such strong reaction from families. Like, I think to announce it just before the anniversary, having not consulted with the people who were actually there, I think could have been an unwise move from the government, and it'll be interesting to see if they change tack in any way.
Okay, just finally to ask you, is there still a Garda investigation into this, or has that all closed?
Well, so I asked the Gardaí about this again this week. So in the wake of the inquest finding, the then Garda Commissioner Drew Harris asked his detectives to maybe have a look at this again, do a review, look through all the evidence. And obviously, if these people were unlawfully killed, this could be worth looking at again. The Gardaí told me this week that they're still actively pursuing this review. Now, I think that might not placate a lot of people who are saying, okay, it's nearly 2 years since this review started, is this going to go anywhere? The Gardaí are still looking into it, but I think we could be waiting a while to see if anything will come to fruition there. I think it could be later rather than sooner, unfortunately.
Okay, well, there's a vigil that's on this afternoon. I imagine that's going to be very, very moving and emotional indeed. And I think if everyone could just take a moment today to think of the victims and the survivors of Stardust, because Valentine's Day, a very different day for those people to perhaps how others celebrate or commemorate the day. Sean, thank you very much. If you're interested in more on the Stardust tragedy, Sean Murray is the co-author of The Last Disco, the story of the Stardust tragedy. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks so much.
News Talk Saturday.